How many of you are warm? Good. Dan, would you turn some heat off, please? You may have to go back to the thing. I don't want anybody going to sleep today. Well, we're preaching through the book of Hebrews, and I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot as we've been studying through this book. Today we're actually going to be talking about the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 12. No, Hebrews chapter 11. We're not in 12 yet. Hebrews chapter 11. And there's a list of people. It's not a complete list, but there's a list of people given in Hebrews chapter 11 who have entered the hall of faith because of their walk with the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice? I mean, wouldn't it be, I don't know, I think about myself, when we get to heaven, perhaps there's going to be a wall of hall of faith people. And I'm thinking, man, it'd be nice if my name were up there on that wall. But we have a list in Hebrews chapter 11 of those people who are in the hall of faith. And we're not going to call every name. We're not going to read the whole chapter. But there was something about these individuals in this hall of faith, some things that they had in common. We're going to look at what those three things were that they had in common. Because if we can find out what they had in common, perhaps we can, too, enter into that hall of faith. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be so cool? So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 6. Now let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. If you can see this, you can read it with me. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. You may be seated. Now, we're not going to speak today so much about the creation, although this passage of Scripture in verse 3 talks about creation. There was a young boy who came to his dad one day. He said, "Dad, where do babies come from?" And he said, the dad said, "Well, son, God created a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, and they had a baby. They had a child. He grew up, became an adult, got married. They had children. They had babies. They grew up. And on down the line, and now you, because of your mom and I, we grew up. We were once babies, grew up, and now we had you, your sister, and one day, Lord willing, you're going to get married and have babies yourself." So he went to his mom. He said, "Mom, where did babies come from?" And she said, "Well, years ago, our ancestors used to be monkeys." And that's where we came from. It's from monkeys. And so he goes back to his dad and he says, "Dad, you lied to me. Mom said that we came from monkeys." And he said, "Well, that's her side of the family." So we're not going to talk about creation so much today. Hopefully you're here and you understand that God created you. okay? And that you didn't come from monkeys. That God created you and He created you for a purpose. And so you're here today because you know that you were created in God's image and you're wanting to please Him. Or some of you may be searching. Some of you may be seeking and saying, you know, what is my purpose? What does God have for me? And maybe you're here and that's where you are today. God has a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And man, wouldn't it be great if every one of us could be on the Hall of Faith? Wouldn't it be awesome? So we're going to look at three areas that every one of these people, we're going to talk about. Abraham, we're going to talk about Joseph, we're going to talk about Jacob, we're talking about David, we're talking about Isaiah, we're talking about Jeremiah, we're talking about all of these people mentioned in Isaiah chapter 11 who entered into this hall of faith. We're going to be talking about three areas of their life that allowed them to become part of that hall of faith. One of those areas is that they drew close to God. The second area is they heard the word of the Lord. And the third area is that they followed God. Okay, so say that with me. One area, they drew close to God. They drew close to God. The second one is they heard the voice of God. And the third one is they obeyed God. All right. So you got it? That's the message today. You can go home. No, I'm kidding. The first one is they drew close to God. So let's talk about that a minute. How do we draw close to God? In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, come close to God, and He will come close to you. This is the way you do it. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. We're going to talk about washing your hands first. Years ago, I worked for an underground contractor. Basically, what that means is he was a sewer guy. Okay, that's a technological term, means we work with sewers. And so he had his backhoe, and he would dig out and find broken pipe, and we'd get down in there, and we'd fix the pipe. And it was a wonderful job, but you got to put food on the table, right? Got to put food on the table. So he would be on the backhoe, I'd use the shovel, and we'd just dig and dig and dig until we got the thing fixed. Needless to say, when I came home, and I wanted to draw close to my wife, she would give me the look. You know what I mean by the look? I don't know how the women get the look. They know the look. I thought they learned it in junior high. But I think they're born with it. But they give you the look. Don't say nothing. Don't you know what they want? Okay? But for some reason, my wife wouldn't let me draw close to her until I washed myself. Can you believe it? As much as I loved her, she wouldn't let me draw close to her. And it's the same way with God. Until we wash ourselves, Scripture tells us that all of us are sinners, right? Also, Scripture tells us that Jesus is the one who washes us. And so until we come to a place in our life where we are willing to repent of our sins, say repent, that means that we're willing to turn away from our sins and turn to God, then God, it's like He's saying, go wash yourself. Go wash yourself. I can't draw close to you. You have to draw close to me. I'll draw close to you. But I can't draw close to you until you wash yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, wash yourself. Did you know that God wants to draw close to you? Every one of you. You may say, man, I don't know that God wants. Yes, God wants to draw close to you. He wants to be so close to you, closer than any friend that you've ever had. He wants to draw close to you. God says to some people, I want to draw close to you, but you would not. You would not allow me to draw close to you because your heart is far from me. Scripture says we need to wash ourselves, wash our hands before we can draw close to Him. Ask Him to forgive us of our sins. Okay? You got it? All right, we'll move on. The second thing He says is that you need to cleanse your heart. Not only wash your hands, but cleanse your heart. He says that some of you have this attachment to the world that needs to be that you need to detach from. There's a passage of Scripture that says you cannot love two masters. Either you will love the one or you're going to love the other. You'll hold to one or you're going to hold to the other. You're going to despise one of them. You can't hold on to the world and love God. And you can't hold on to God and love Him and hold on to the world. Okay? You can't do it. It's not possible. And the reason He says this is because you're going to either, whoever your master is, that's the one you're going to obey. So, you don't have to answer out loud. But I'm going to ask you, who is your master? Who are you? So here's a better way of saying it. Who do you listen to? Who do you obey? Because who, I mean, everybody in here would say, the Lord is my master. But that's only if you do what He says. Wouldn't you agree? So if the world is your master, and the world entices you, and you say, yep, I'm going to do what the world says, but your mouth says, the Lord is my master, you may be lying to yourself. Maybe I ought not say maybe. Because you're lying to yourself. If you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is my master, and yet you are following the dictates of the world. So, in order to draw close to God, and this is what the people of faith did, men and women of faith, what they did is they drew close to God. Look with me, just for an example, look with me in Isaiah chapter 6. It says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on high, a lofty throne, and His robe, or the train of His robe, filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above Him, that's angels, with six wings. Each one had six wings, with two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, with two He flew, and one called to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth. The foundations of the doorways shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. It was like when the Lord entered, there was an earthquake. Okay? The foundations of... Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed and your sin is atoned for. All right, so you see that? He was drawing close to God. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. Not what I ought to be. I don't know if he spoke curse words. I don't know if he was slandering. I don't know if he was gossiping. I don't know if he was telling jokes that weren't appropriate. I don't know what he was doing, but he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. God, I'm not able to get close to you. See, there was a confession. And anytime you want to draw close to God and God convicts you of something, even today, as I'm speaking, God may be convicting you of something in your heart. Now, you can either reject it, you can deny it, or you can agree with God and say, yep, God, I got a problem. And here's the problem. And that's what Isaiah did. He felt God drawing him, and so he drew into God's presence. And because of that, God drew close to him. We're going to read on. Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? So he began. After he drew close to God, he heard the voice of God. And God said, who can I send? Who will go for us? Isn't that strange that God would say us? Who would God say us to? The Son, the Holy Spirit. Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, God, here am I. Send me. And God sent him. God sent him. So we see here in Isaiah, he drew close to God. God drew close to him. God spoke to him. God told him what he needed, and Isaiah said, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to go. Just like we saw a video a while ago about this guy who was working for NASA as a doctor. And God said, will you go? And he said, yes, I'll go. By the way, I'm pretty confident you don't make as much money as a missionary as you do working for NASA. Just an observation. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Okay? But he was willing to put the world aside so that he can embrace what God wanted him to do. He might be on that wall of faith when we get to heaven. He might be on there. Draw close to me, I will draw close to you. Put aside those things that are of the world so that I can draw close to you. So you need to answer this question for yourself, and I'm sure the Lord is already speaking to you. So what attachments of the world are holding on to you? What is keeping you from entering into God's presence? What is keeping you from hearing from God? The second thing is, we need to hear God's voice. First thing is, we need to draw close to God. The second thing is, we must hear the word of the Lord. Paul was talking about this morning in Sunday school or in life group. how we're, sometimes we faith things, but it's not really faith because God hasn't spoken it. Okay? And I think it more of a fantasy. We fantasize what we want. Therefore, we try to make God do what we want Him to do because we fantasize about it. Okay? You know, God is God. Did you know that? And He does what He wants to when He wants to. But, let me just tell you this, if you hear from God, you can believe what God says. And all of these people in the Hall of Faith heard from God and they believed what God said and they moved on what God said rather than seeing it in the physical. They saw it in the spiritual because God had spoken it to them and then they were able to move on. So it's important that you hear what God says. Some of you this morning have come with some situations, some issues, maybe in your family life, maybe in your physical, maybe there's some sickness, maybe some other things. So I want to ask you a question. What has God said about that to you? Have you spent time with Him long enough that you've heard what He said? Many of you are worried about many things. Many of you are concerned about many things. Many of you are anxious about many things. What has God said? What has God said to you? What has God said to you? When God speaks, you need to hear it. God has spoken through His Word. So there's two Greek words for word. One word is logos, which is the written word. And as you read God's Word, written word, sometimes things just jump off the page at you. Bob and Caroline shared a few weeks ago about how God has used the Word of God in their life to direct them. The Logos. When it jumps off the page at you, when you're reading it, it no longer becomes a Logos. It becomes a Rhema word. Because it's spoken to your heart. I want you to know, and you need to hear this, please hear this. Whatever you're going through, God cares. God cares. God cares. God cares. But sometimes, even though it may be the most terrific thing that anyone could ever go through, until you hear God's voice, you're going to stay where you are. Isaiah heard God's voice. He said, "Here am I, send me." I don't think Isaiah realized he was going to have to write 66 chapters. I don't think he realized that this book was going to be that long. Okay, I don't think he realized that. But when he said, "Here am I, send me," God said, "Okay." A lot of times when we say, "I do" in a marriage, we don't realize what that entails. And I don't think Isaiah understood when he said, "Send me," what that entailed. But I believe he came to a point where he says, "Whatever it is, whatever, 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 I I'm willing. God just said, who will go for us? Go do what? I'm not saying. I want to know what you want me to do. Don't worry about that. Intermarriage relationship? I do. You do what? Sometimes you do things you don't want to do. But you do. Because you did. So when you say I do to Christ, sometimes you might not be aware of all that you're agreeing to. I want you to know God loves you. And some of you God has put His finger upon. And He said, I want you to. And you can either say, I do, I will, or I don't, and I won't. Some of you God has said, I want you to become my child. Matter of fact, every one of you He said that to. And you can either say, I will, or I won't. Some of you, God has said, I want you to be a witness. Every one of us, He said that to. And you can either say, I will, or I won't. Some of you, God has put His finger on and said, I want you to go into the ministry. And you can either say, I will, or I won't. Some of you, God may have said, I want you to be a missionary. And you can either say, I will, or I won't. How great is your faith? How great is your faith? How great is your faith? If God calls you, He's going to make a way for you to... Well, God's calling me, but I don't know how it's going to happen. So what? That's not your business. It's not your business. That's God's business. Your business is to do what He said. That's all. And that's the final thing, is obey God's word. The Rhema word is God speaking to our spirit. And we know that we know that we know that we know in our heart that's what God wants me to do. We just know it. And He speaks to us. And we know, because He has spoken to our heart, this is what we must do. And so therefore, when He speaks to us, we can either obey what God says, or we can reject it. How many of you know the book, the story of Jonah? How many of you know that it really didn't turn out so well for Jonah? And I just say this, if God is telling you to do something, you can run, but you can't hide. Okay? You can run, but you can't hide. And I would rather do what God wants me to than get swallowed by a fish. So when you hear God's voice, when you hear God's word, what are you going to do? Every single one of us have problems. Every single one of us. And sometimes we get so engaged with our problems we can't hear God speak. And sometimes I think the enemy allows these problems to come our way so that they distract us from getting alone with God. The truth is, when problems come, that's when we ought to get further into God. Because He's got a word for you that is going to help you through these difficult times. A lot of times people want to know what God comes to me and say, Brad, have you heard what God wants me to do? And I say, hear from God. That's what He wants you to do. Hear from God. If you're not hearing from God, then I would suggest you draw close. Because every single one of us need to hear from God. Forget about your stuff for a while. Forget about what's important to you and begin to concentrate on what's important to God. So, I'm going to close. But not before I say this. Every single one of you have some important stuff. Some important business. And you're saying, God, why don't you fix my stuff? Why don't you visit my family? Why don't you visit this place? I'm going to read you a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. And I think this, you need to hear this. Now, it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding His 12 disciples, He had commanded them to go out and begin ministering to other people in other cities, away from their homeland, away from their families, and He commanded them to go out. And so, they went out. And then it says, and then Jesus departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. God, why don't you visit my family? Why don't you visit my stuff? Why don't you help me? And this is what He did for the disciples. He sent them out to do His will. And then Jesus went to their hometowns and visited their families. Visited their stuff. He began working in their situations. After they went out and started working in other people's lives. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Jesus has a plan for your stuff. Jesus has a plan for your family. But here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Do you think these prophets of old and these people at Hall of Fame had any problems? Do you think there was life circumstances that happened to them and with them that wanted to distract them from doing what God wanted them to do? To get them off focus? I know they did. I know they did. I have problems. But who cares? We all have problems. But the greatest problem is our heart. Where are we with the Lord? How is our heart? Are we being cleansed? See, here's what I think. I believe the Lord wants to do some marvelous things in our house today. James chapter 5 says that if anyone is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and pray over them, anointing them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. But then he goes on to say, if there's any sin, confess your sins one to another, implying that sometimes there's sin in our lives that causes us to have some physical problems. So as I'm preaching, and maybe there are some physical things going on in your life, perhaps the Lord is reminding you of some areas in your life that maybe you need to confess, repent of, to wash your hands, cleanse yourself of, detach yourself from the world or detach yourself from other things so that you can receive the blessings that God has for you. So this morning, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to pray for you if you will come to the front. I don't care if you need healing. Maybe it's healing in relationships. Maybe it's healing in family. Maybe it's healing in physical. Maybe it's healing in your finances. I'm not sure what. But before you come, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything that would hinder me from receiving your blessings today? And if so, confess, repent, draw near to God. And He will draw near to you. That's a promise. That's a promise. Father, I come before you today. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I believe that every single one here today, including myself, wants to be on that hall, on that wall of faith. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, is there anything that would hinder me from receiving your blessing today? Is there anything that would hinder me from drawing close to you and you drawing close to me? Lord, is there anything that would hinder me from hearing your voice? Lord, show us. Show me. We want to hear from you. Lord, we want to obey you. Lord, we give ourselves to you at this moment for you to do in us what we want, what we need done and what you want to do. Lord, there are some here who've been resisting maybe a call to ministry or a call to something else. And Lord, today I pray that you would release them. Let them know this is your will for their life. We give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' holy name, amen.